Welcome again to our home, but I pray that the word will come home to all of us today. I am going through something with the Lord and really enjoying it, having some challenges as well with it, but the Lord's really bringing a fresh experience of who he is into my life, and I believe that what God's laid on my heart is going to do you so much good that you're going to be transformed by it and blessed by it. It's a good word, and it's a word of grace and power that will help you and I to be and do all that Jesus wants for our lives. And we're going to look into the prayer life of the Apostle Paul. What a great man. And isn't it amazing that in Scripture we can actually get in to almost the prayer room, the depths of somebody's heart and prayer life, that actually helps us to see how he prayed and how sometimes that can affect how we see our own prayer life. And I believe in this occasion, it's something that's really important for us to see. So it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's a well-loved verse. But I pray that today that God will speak it afresh to each one of us so that there can be something transforming and something so powerful happen in our experience and walk with the Lord. Now, the situation Paul was in was a difficult one, and he was really struggling with this situation. And it speaks of, in this chapter, a messenger of Satan. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about this messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh that Paul was enduring, a situation which was really difficult for him to endure. And obviously, it's Satan that's doing it, not God, because he makes that clear. And in every other situation, he talks about evil spirits. If you look at the book of Acts, he addresses the enemy as spirits left people, or the power and authority of the name of Jesus. But in this, he speaks of a messenger. And for me, my understanding of that, more than anything, is that this is a person that Satan has sent that is actually continually buffeting. And that means, that word means actually to hit with a fist again and again. That for me is the essence of what's happening. And I think for you and I today, what that means is Satan can be throwing all kinds of stuff at us, and it can continually be hitting out against us. And there's this word buffet, which is not a Chinese, a buffet. It's actually this buffeting, this trouble, this trial, this difficulty he's facing. And in this time of prayer, Paul pleads with the Lord. In verse 8 it says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord that he might take it away from me. I pleaded with the Lord. And this isn't a kind of casual prayer. Lord, please do something about this. This is a depth of heart in his prayer life, because he just was not coping well. And he felt his strength go down and down and down. I suppose he almost got to a point where he said, how can I carry on and do the things you're asking me to do, Lord, in my life when I feel so weak? It's making me weak. And I'm just going to read verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul changes his whole mindset about his own weakness and his own ability to get through this, to get the job done, to be the person that he thought he needed to be strong in this situation. And I felt this all year, and I'm sure many of you have felt different aspects of your life seem to be getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And I felt it, you know, the weakness of not being able to do anything about a lot of our circumstances in life. The weakness of not being able to see you. There's many things that I feel there's a weakening of situations and circumstances that I literally have felt, I feel the weakest I've felt probably ever in my Christian walk. I can't do anything about it. And that's weakness. You feel you can't do anything about a situation. And I know many of you are in that personally, where you feel, gosh, I've got these areas or these circumstances or these situations, or I'm in a place where I feel my strength isn't there for it. And this is what Paul received, this incredible feast of a promise. This is a promise for all of us in Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. My power, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul, he responds with this. Therefore, I will gladly rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. So he says, I'm doing it not because I've been an idiot and got into sin and rebellion against God. I'm actually in this because I'm serving God. Then he finishes with this. This is where I'm going to finish today. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Jesus is another example where we see the prayer in the garden, and he hits that weak point of human weakness and frailty. And he pleads three times. Interestingly, like Paul, he prayed three times. Jesus prayed three times. Father, take this cup, this suffering, away. I'm finding it difficult to face the cross. Take this away from me, if it is possible. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, he's in the garden in agony. He realizes that the Lord is going to lay on him the iniquity of us all. That is what he's facing. That ultimate separation from God, because our sin was going to be put upon him so that we could receive his gift of righteousness. And so Jesus was in agony in prayer, and yet he was submitted to his Father's will. And I don't believe Paul in any way was asking for something without that surrender to, not my will, but yours be done. And that's the key to our prayer life, is that we live in reverent submission, even when we're asking God to do something. Now, in both of these situations, the Father's will is that they went through this time. They went through it. And Paul, he had to go through this. But God said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you power that will not just be enough to get through it, but will manifest my strength. Now, if you think about the strength of God made perfect in a human, weak person, that is amazing power. That the power of Christ may rest on me. So Paul was saying, the weak position is actually God's time to step in and bring the greatest manifestation of the power of God. Now, God had a purpose in this, and verse 7, Paul understood the purpose, that God said, this is going on, lest I become conceited. So in other words, God was using what Satan was doing to actually bring Paul to a place of humility and need for God. In this year, I have rejoiced that my weakness has driven me, and the things that Satan even is doing, it's driven me to a place where I am seeking God and praying and receiving a grace in this time that I didn't have and I wouldn't have if it wasn't so hard and it wasn't so difficult for me. Whether it's been physical challenges, whether it's been mental challenges or challenges with the ministry and in the church and the promise and destiny of God. And you'll be facing it too. All the challenges around. It's actually makes us realize we can't do it anyway. You and I in human strength, it just reveals the failure of human strength to do what God sets before us, and we can't do it. Sometimes I feel like I am the ultimate beached whale. Hopefully not physically, but you know, when you see a whale on the beach, all you want to do is move it. And imagine running down to that beach to push that whale in. The effort, the compassion, the desire to get this thing, this creature that will die if it stays on the shore. But imagine, at that point God says, I'm going to manifest my power in this. Come and receive grace, and I'll do it. Is the end of your shoving and pushing of that whale, that problem, that situation, and your beginning of coming to Jesus to receive grace to help in time of need. So God said no to Paul's three-time praying. I love it that he counts. I only prayed three times. But God gave me a word. He spoke to me in it. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it because I've got a purpose. I'm going to keep you dependent on me in the trouble and in the trial. But not only dependent, I'm going to show my power and my glory in you. That word, that the power of Christ may rest upon us, is actually the word that we have in John's Gospel, where the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word is tabernacle. Jesus became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among us. And then John goes on to say, we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only. So in other words, the power of Christ resting on Paul would mean people will behold the glory of the one and only Son. And so Paul says, this is great. I'm going to start boasting. I'm going to boast, show off my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That there'll be this empty, weak, humble, praying person that says, Lord, I want you to fill my weakness with your ability, so that people see that this is you, not me. I can't, but you will, through your grace that is sufficient for me. There's a promise in it, and Paul was changed in it. It's not staying weak. He changed because he said, when I am weak, that's me, human strength, divine power, endless resources, the strength of God comes in. When I was 18, I was trained to be a lifeguard at a swimming pool for an evening job or a weekend job after school. And one of the things we were taught is that you never rescue someone while they're struggling, because you're in danger of them fighting and grabbing hold of you in such a way that they'll pull you down with them. And I remember once there was this 40-year-old guy in the deep end, and I think he must have had, I don't know what actually happened to him because he went to hospital afterwards, but there I am on duty and wishing it wasn't me, and I looked down the deep end. I was at the shallow end with the kids, just looking out for them. And I saw that this 40-year-old man could just see his hands above the water flailing around. And I belted up. I ran, blowing my whistle, which if you blow three times, it meant it alerted people to get involved, the people on site, and leapt into the pool. But I went round the back of him and waited until he stopped, because I knew he was a big man and I knew he would take me down. And I, thank God, pulled him out and he was saved. Once he stopped struggling, the power came in, really, the salvation came. And that's you and me. Once we stop struggling and we come to Jesus, the power comes in to do the job, to get us saved out of what we're in, or to manifest what God can do. There's this incredible scripture in 2 Chronicles 26:15. If you want to look at the reference some other time, 2 Chronicles 26:15. A king called Uzziah. It says he was marvelously helped until he became strong. Now that's interesting. God helped him. Amazing. I love marvelously helped, because I believe that's what he wants to do with you and me. He wants to offer marvelous help, almighty divine help. That's what he'll do with you and me. But it'll only happen for as long as we're weak, humanly speaking, weak in our own ideas and in our own ability to go through, get through, be the person God wants us to be, do the things, the impossible things God's calling us to as a church, as his people, as a person, as a mum, as a dad, all the things that God has planned for us. We can't do it, but he'll marvelously help us. Until this king became strong. Isn't it interesting that even God's help in our lives can make us strong, that we start to depend on ourselves? And then pride came in with this king, and he had a great fall. He had a great fall, like Humpty Dumpty. And, you know, some of us need to be having a great fall out of our human strength, that God will put us back together again and lift us back up in the power of God. And that's a fantastic analogy, really. And this is what we're seeing in Paul as he prays. I'm at the end of my own resources, Lord. Please take it away. God says, no, let me give you my ability and my strength, that I will tabernacle, that I will show my glory through your life. Where do we go to receive this grace? Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly. That's an invitation. Come boldly before the throne of grace. I love the truth, this throne, the throne of God in heaven. Our Father, who is Lord of heaven and earth. The earth is his footstool. We're his children. Jesus has made a way, made us holy by his blood, to come boldly before the throne, where you'll receive mercy. Find mercy, which means his blood speaks and says, I've made them holy, Father. They're blameless in my sight. Isn't that wonderful? The blood makes us holy. Come boldly because of the blood of Jesus before the throne of grace to find grace. Grace, grace. God giving everything of himself to those who don't work for it. It's a gift. Freely receive that grace. And I believe, as we read this scripture, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. That word will bring grace as we believe, as we pray before the throne of grace. We will receive grace. It's sufficient for me. It's sufficient for you. It's personal to your weakness, and it's personal to my weakness. That's what God is saying. I'm going to give strength in your weakness. It's wonderful. That's the place to go. It's a game-changing place. It's a divine exchange. He takes my weakness and fills it with His ability. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful. When Pastor Andrew and I, years ago we were ministering in Sardinia in Italy, and we were asked to speak, and it was just one session, but it was one of many things we were doing around Italy. And so we went to this conference. We flew to Sardinia with friends of ours who administrate all the ministry out there and translate as well. And one session was all I was billed to do. And it was an exciting time. This place was absolutely packed to standing room, and it was like an amphitheatre, and there were kind of tiers. Everybody stood, and it was packed with hungry, expectant Italians. They were the charismatic Catholic group, and God opened a door for the gospel into that region, actually, around that area, for us to go in and bring the good news of Jesus. It was a wonderful time, but they were very, very hungry for God as a people. But they were billed to have, the main speaker was this guy who worked in the Vatican. He was a priest who was famous. He was like a celebrity. He was a young man, actually, but he was a real famous priest in Italy. And so I was kind of like the insignificant bit. Let me put it like that, which was a good bit to be. It's always good when you think you're, you know, down the list. It's when you get to the top that things can go wrong. Because God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Anyway, so I'm kind of like, well, I'm not billed for much. We'll just give it our best shot. And I'd studied and prayed and prepared. And anyway, we got there, and it turned out that this famous priest that everybody was waiting for, he couldn't come. And they looked at me and said, "You're on for the entire weekend." Now, I knew I couldn't do it. Just knew I couldn't do it. So they looked at me. I think they were kind of like, "We hope this works. You know, this could be a failure, this conference." And I was looking at them thinking, "I'm quite convinced this could be a failure this weekend. I'm not sure you're going to be pleased with what's going to happen." So Pastor Angie and I, okay, you've got to think of the humor of this situation. We were desperate. And the only place we could pray on our own was in the toilet. So we both went into the same toilet. Now, let me tell you, the only reason we went in there was just to pray. So we locked the door. It was the only way. And we cried out to God. We cried out to God. "I can't do that, Lord. There's nothing I can. What do I say? What do I do?" And we walked out, and I stood there. And I remember the message I brought was something about the blood of Jesus and how the blood of Jesus makes us holy. And I remember very little about it, but it was like God took over. And the glory of God fell on that place that actually it's still being spoken about today. And is one of the times, and it wasn't me, everybody looked at Jesus. It was like an incredible moment that was exceptional in God. But I trace that back to our weakness. And the prayer that we prayed in that moment that transformed that situation. I'm going to tell another story if I have time. I know I haven't that much time this morning, but some students, Bible students, once were taken round John Wesley's actual home, a rectory or something. Is that what you call it? I think it is. And they were walking around. This is where he ate. And they went into his bedroom. This is where he slept. And they walked round the bed. It was one of these moments thinking about this great man of God who prayed for revival and had brought masses of people were turning to Christ in this nation and in other nations. And many people were praying for a move of God. And one of them noticed on the floor that the carpet was worn down so much in two places. And the student had asked somebody there, said, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, that's where Wesley knelt to pray for revival for this nation." And he became a man of absolute power that God used as like a firebrand in the nation. But if you trace it back to that bedroom, he made a dent in the carpet on his knees that then brought the glory of God. You see, weak people pray. Pastor Colin always says the sign of your humility to show that you're dependent on God is your prayer life. Because actually, weak people pray. They come to God and find that His grace is sufficient, that His power is changing us so that we're completely different. And in this time, we are going into a move of God. But the move of God begins with this place of weakness. I can't even be what God wants me to be. But He, Christ in me, is the hope. And He strengthens us to fulfill His amazing, powerful purpose. The world needs the power of Christ. We need the power of Christ. My family, my friends need to see the glory of the one and only. We beheld His glory. Out of your weakness, see it differently. The carnal mind rejects weakness. The spiritual mind says, "Oh, I can't. I'm willing, Lord. I have submission. I'll do your will. But may your power rest on me." That's a promise. Go to it. Go to Jesus. Come to Jesus now as we pray. And we're just going to take a few moments and pray together and receive a fresh grace. So let's respond in our hearts, if we can, physically, if you need to kneel, or just whatever position you need to be in, just to receive. Let's come to Jesus. Lord, ha, what a mind you have that is opposite to ours. Your thoughts are not definitely our thoughts. We love to be strong and feel strong. But you, Lord, look for weakness in us so that your power can be made perfect in it. And Lord, I know that many of us in this time have felt weak and have had circumstances around us that we can see that Satan's hands behind it. But Father, we thank you that we can come boldly before this wonderful place in your presence, at your feet, before your awesome throne, as your children, blameless, holy in your sight, because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't answered our prayers to make us strong in our own strength. Thank you, Lord, you've delivered us from continual failure of our own human strength. But you've shown us today that we can find grace with you. Your grace is sufficient. It's more than enough, Lord. It doesn't just get us through something. It gets us to win in it, to conquer in it. Your victory, Christ in us, the glorious one, tabernacling, presencing yourself, resting upon us, Lord. And so we will boast, Lord, about our weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Strengthen the weak. Give grace to the humble. And Lord, bring us to that place where we make a dent in our own carpet
of prayer, where there will be the power of Jesus seen in this generation. Lord, may we see that that humbling, kneeling figure, dependent on you, is the one that you will use as a vessel of honor and release your glory. Do it through us. Do it through these wonderful people listening, Lord. Do it again in our nation and time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord told me to read to finish today something from my journal that I had yesterday, actually. And it's what he was speaking to me, but I really believe that he wants me to share it with you. And I don't often share my own journal, but I'm going to this morning. And this is what he said to me. Judith, I want to empty my church, my people, of human strength. The vanity of trying to get rid of feelings of weakness, praying to me to remove all the challenges of life. I do a glorious work. I am the father of my children, and I know my own. In a time of extremity, personal weakness, your needs, I am working to keep you dependent on me. You look for a trouble-free life. I look for a weak and humble heart. You ask for trouble to go away. I say, my grace is sufficient for you. My power, think of it, works in the weakest vessels. The end of human strength, the end of human wisdom, the end of human hope, and the end of a losing battle is my opportunity to show how great I am. I believe God has spoken to you and me and is doing amazing things. Let your prayer life be a place where you find grace. And may the glory of the One be seen. That'll be our reward, that people will say, there's no way they could have done that or gone through that. But look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did to bring about a victory, a triumph of our King. Praise God. What a wonderful promise. May you live, and may we all live our lives every day out of this word. Wonderful Jesus. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.